In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day in which we commemorate the institution of the Eucharist, we have this long reading that has so much in it, so much theology, so much practical application of how we should live and think and act. It's really impossible to give it justice. But last night, I was listening carefully to the canon, and there were two things that jumped out at me that I think apply very much to this day. I recommend to you, and I've done it before and I will do it again many times, you should buy the Lenten Triodion, the Festal Manaean, the Octoikos. You should read the services and learn them, drink from them, because they are a well springing up to everlasting life. They are our faith. Our theology is plain for all to see and hear. So here is the first thing from the canon in the Eighth Ode. And we talk about Judas a lot today, and it must be important, since we're spending an entire day, really almost 2 days, speaking about Judas with almost every hymn. What was Judas' sin? What was his main sin? What was the most important thing that brought him down? Some of you might say avarice, because the apostles talk about his avarice, or that he was a thief. That wasn't the problem. This hymn shows the problem, and it's great in context with the fact that we're going to commune of the Holy Mysteries, because Judas communed of the Holy Mysteries, and then he went out and betrayed the Lord, and he died a couple days thereafter, after hanging himself. He died on Friday, hanging himself. And so, the Stikirin says, lacking all conscience, he received the body that delivers men from sin and the divine blood that was shed for the world. He was not ashamed to drink what he had sold for money. He felt no anger against sin, for he knew not how to cry, O ye works of the Lord, praise ye the Lord and exalt him above all forever. Did you catch in that Stikirin the most important sin of Judas? It was not to give up the Lord. The sin of not being angry against his sin led him to be annihilated by his passions. If he had been angry against his sin, then he would have not delivered up the Lord. He had a predilection toward avarice and cowardice, but he didn't fight against this sin. He nurtured it throughout the ministry of the 3 years with Jesus. He would steal from the money bag, and so he would constantly nurture this sin of avarice. And so when this time came that was frightening, when it was clear that there was a bunch of people that wanted Christ dead, and things looked very difficult, and Judas was probably scared for his own life as well, then he gave him up for 30 pieces of silver. The problem is, he was not angry against his sin. Brothers and sisters, you must be angry. You must have the proper kind of anger. Anger is a attribute of the soul that God has given us. It is good and holy to be angry against the right things. You must be angry against sin. You must be angry against pain. You must have anger that things are not as they should be in the world. And you should desire to change that in whatever way you're capable of changing it, with God helping you. Be angry against your sin. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care how habitual you are in a particular sin or how horrible the sin is. If you are angry against it, then you indeed will be saved, because God will help you. But if you give in to it, then you're lost. It could be a big sin in our mind, adultery or fornication or theft or something of that nature. Or it could be something that perhaps you don't think is so large, like judging your brother, or gossiping, or being lazy. Be angry about your laziness, and your gossip, and your jealousy, and your stupidity. Be angry about it. But let that anger motivate you. That anger should make you want to change and should give you the energy to change. Judas didn't have that. That's why he was lost. He did a terrible thing, the most terrible sin in the annals of history, to give up the Lord. But the sin that led to that was that he was not angry against his sin. Cultivate that. That's why I tell you to read the Gospels. That's why I tell you to read the Psalter, because that will help you cultivate anger against your sin. Not anger against yourself, not like I'm stupid, I'm worthless, I'll never be any good. That's not anger against sin. That's mental and spiritual illness. But you should be angry that there you do things that are not right, and channel that anger into action. That's what the saints did. That's what St. Mary of Egypt did. We just read her life recently. What motivated her in the desert was her anger against her sin. You must also have this anger, or else you'll end up like Judas. Cultivate anger against sin. And here's another one. This is about the Eucharist, and it explains in a very succinct way the power of the Eucharist, what the Eucharist does to us, and why it does it. Since I am man, not merely in appearance, but in reality, the human nature united to me is made godlike through the exchange of attributes. Know me then as one single Christ, who saves those among whom I have been born and whose nature I have taken. This is one of the best descriptions of the action of the incarnation that I've ever seen. Our Lord took on our nature, and there was an exchange of attributes. That means that his nature, his human nature, was deified by his godly nature. The human nature was changed to be incorruptible and to be able to be perfected. And so it is with us, that our human nature is changed slowly, too slowly, I think, for our comfort, to be able to be perfected. And how does this occur? By the exchange of attributes. And this happens through God's grace in general, because he's not limited by anything. He can do anything. We just heard that in the reading about Job. He can do anything he wants. He's capable of everything. But he chooses, especially through the body and blood of his Son, to exchange attributes with us, to enter into us as we take in the body and blood, and for our nature to be changed by this in a mystical way, but a very real and actual way. There are actual changes happening in our flesh and in our souls when we partake of the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. And this is why we should do it often. I'm still perplexed why so many people partake of the Eucharist haphazardly, without preparation, and not very often. I don't understand that. It's clear that the Lord wants us to partake of his body and blood with preparation, with thirst, with zeal, so that we would be changed. I'll read this again to you so you understand it. Since I am man, not merely in appearance, but in reality, the human nature united to me is made godlike through the exchange of attributes. Know me then as one single Christ, who saves those among whom I have been born and whose nature I have taken. The human nature united to Christ was made godlike by the exchange of attributes, his human nature. And therefore, our human nature can be made godlike through the exchange of attributes. And of course, when we take in the divine divinizes us. May God help us to have zeal for the Eucharist and anger against our sins. Don't ever partake of the Eucharist without being angry against your sin. Don't do it just because, well, you know, I do it once a year, or I do it because it's a holiday, or
or the whole family is, or any other foolish reason. Do it because you don't like the way you are. You want to get better. It's the whole point of being a Christian, is to get better, is to be perfected. And the things in you that are not perfect, they should really make you mad. But mad in a godly way, a godly anger. An anger that makes you want to change. And this anger, unlike human anger, will make you meek and humble and mild. Jesus Christ had this kind of anger. That's why he became man. Because he saw how man was, and he was angry about it. Because it's not the way it's supposed to be. So you should be angry about the things in you that are not the way they're supposed to be. And the things in your loved ones, not at your loved ones, but at the sin in your loved ones. Because it causes your loved ones pain. And let your anger then motivate you to love, to be patient, to be kind, to be meek, to be mild, to pray. And then you will be saved. May God help us. Amen.